48 Voss.
What's happening?
The Reflex Blue Show number 48.
God, we're closing in on 50.
Yeah, I think 50 is either going to be the end of season 2 or the beginning of season 3. I haven't decided.
I feel like when we get to 50, we should just, you know, say fuck it and start a brand new website and totally new podcast.
Oh, we made it to 53 last time.
Oh, we did?
We did? Yeah, but we counted like the Super Bowl specials then, so if you take out
those. If we count our Super Bowl shows, which is coming up, by the way, if we count those, I think we're probably pretty close.
Okay.
Let's wrap this up. Shut it down. We're done. We're done with this noise. What are we talking about today, Donovan? We're not actually done with this noise.
Oh, I should have done better research.
Are we going to talk about everything in fits and spurts, and maybe one of us will leave halfway through and then come back, or should we try?
Hopefully we'll have better recording than we did last time.
Apologies to
Adam Nielsen, who got half of a show in as a guest and had to take off on us.
Adam almost got a full show in with all the stuff that we recorded that was unusable, sadly, but I'll try to keep it together. Today we're both here in the same room.
All right, well, we've got another Twitter show. We put out the call for those of us who follow. It's at 36 point, or if you want to follow Nate and
it's
not
at
me,
Vossum,
it's just, yeah,
if you just want to be totally cool and only follow me. But I think if you check the numbers, the 36 point Twitter is actually in the lead.
The Nate plus Donovan is greater than the Nate by himself is what you're saying. Okay,
is that true, or can my ego even handle that? I don't know. I don't think that it can, Donovan.
Okay, Nick Merritt asks us...
Who's Nick and where's he from? Does it say you didn't print out profile page? Let's find out. What's it? It's at Nick Merritt. He's got a green thing, so I think he's doing... Is that Iraq? That's Iran, right? It's Iran? He's got a green picture.
Yeah, that's Iran.
All right. Well, that's okay. There's actually quite a few things on here. I don't want to skip ahead too much.
Nick's one of the guys who, he's in Memphis.
Oh, he's a Memphis dude.
He's
all
one
right.
of the guys who, I believe, met us at the, or saw us at the original think tank, hung out with us afterwards.
Could be. Oh, well, in that case, yo, what up, Nick? Long time no see. What's his question, dude? Let's do this.
Okay.
Let's have a show.
His question, best print or web design for Haiti relief?
Best print or web design for Haiti relief?
Yes.
As people may or may not be aware.
We're letting people... Oh, if you're not aware, we're just reading, giving you our takes on these. We didn't research these beforehand. We're just answering them directly.
Should have set that up better. Donovan has a list of questions that I have not seen, and we are going to hit them up. So, in case you've been living in a cave, Haiti was hit by a 7.X earthquake.
Big earthquake.
Last week, I think it was.
Yeah.
An ungodly death toll. I saw in the news this morning that they buried 70,000 people, and that, you know, they expect that it's actually a far higher toll than that at the end of it. So as happens quite a bit with tragedies of this scale, people try to get the word out, and you see graphic designers doing things. With Katrina, there was quite an effort. There was the displaced designer thing that AIGA helped with. I think Design Observer had a hand in that too.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. You also saw a lot of posters. People who are listening at home, that dramatic pause was me shrugging because I don't know. Did they sell them for charity? Like, did money from those go to charity?
I think some do, some don't. It's all different. Now, I mean, my answer to this is the best design I've seen, which is it would be that text Haiti to 90999 and they donate $10 or something.
Yeah,
but he asked for best print or web design, and I have not been on the internet like I should be.
Yo, can I be honest? I can also answer the next question by saying, yo, I haven't looked at the graphic design of the relief efforts,
but. We'd love for you guys to chime in. Let us know of some good stuff. But I did see on the Twitter, Alan Lord, N Magnifico on Twitter.
Oh, that dude. Yeah.
From Winnipeg here. He posted on his Twitter account. He's got a poster he did for a charity event. It looks good.
Is it for Haiti?
It's a fundraising poster for, yeah.
Show me.
Bring it up.
What do we got?
He said he was inspired. He realized later it looked a lot like a Sal Bass thing, but this thing is good. It's for
Yeah. This is one of those things you look at, quote unquote, afterwards and go, oh, it kind of looks like Sal. Nah.
It's done in a style that anyone would do, and then you realize later, oh yeah, that.
Well, anyone would do it because Sal Bass did it.
But thing looks good,
and that's fine. That poster's fine. My here's the thing that I would actually like to talk to you about, Donovan. And I think that I see this most with green up the earth type stuff, and not so much with the Haiti thing. I think with the Haiti thing, people have their hats on straight and their hearts in the right place. With a lot of other sort of charity movement things, I'll see people that make, like, yo, I made a poster about, you know, green being good, or about Hurricane Katrina flooding up New Orleans. And then I don't know what happens at that point. And I think, and from my experience of things that I've seen, certainly there are some efforts where those posters sell and maybe you make a donation.
Well, I think a lot of these posters come about because people don't know what to do, and they once again, they don't know what's going to happen, so they just make them because they feel like they can do something.
Well, but does it, my question to you is, does a poster do anything if A, you know, someone runs off a couple in their garage and mostly they get shown on their website? And maybe passed out to a few of their designer buddies. But I walk around my town, and let's face it, there are more Omaha-like communities across America than there are New York's and Los Angeles's.
Okay.
And I don't see an awful lot of posters around the community around here. Maybe if you go to one specific spot, you can find them. So I don't know that there's a communicative victory for those posters for spreading awareness.
I think it's more fundraising.
But do they raise a damn thing? If you sell a poster for $15, why not just donate $15? I feel like there's a certain segment of the population that will design a poster or a thing, and although it can look to be an altruistic act, that it's actually a very selfish act about, I want to make a kick-ass looking poster, and I had an idea this tragic event.
I think a lot of people are going to look for a reason to make a kick-ass poster, and if by chance it also raises $15, I consider that a bonus. I think they're going to make the poster anyway.
See, and I think that that's people glomming on to the tragedy of an event to further their own awareness.
I really don't think there's as many of those posters as you made as you would think there are.
No, but I kind of have to agree with you. There's probably a lot less of that. And again, let me be clear, I've seen none of this with regards to what's happening in Haiti right now. But it's something that I have noticed. Where, like, people will design a poster and it just winds up as an image on their Facebook page. And it doesn't actually raise awareness because it's not being posted around a community, and it doesn't actually raise money because they're not selling more than two or three.
And okay, well, hey, once
you're
again,
cutting me off.
I'm cutting you off.
Donovan Berry is moving on. How's our recording looking? Are we keeping it together this week?
It's so far it's keeping together. Once again, if you guys have great examples of Weber print design, please post them because, as I said, I've been like off the
Make
internet.
Make sure
this
though,
week.
Like Very if weird. You're gonna, I would ask that if you post them, you also post. Here's the result of this. Here's what this has been made to do. Because I think that's as important.
All right, we're moving on to the next question here.
Let's do it. I felt like that was a good one to start
with. Notorious LB3, which is at Notorious LB and the number 3.
They of the teddy bear.
Lenwood Brown III from Amherst, New Hampshire, it says.
Sure.
Firefighter, freelance designer, social media nut, comic lover, French fry eater, lumberjack, gamer, and some other stuff.
All right.
Sounds
all
like
right,
someone
right.
we'd get along with.
I take it back. Let's not do Twitter introductions for everyone.
Okay.
But the LB3, I know them. I believe I follow them.
Okay. What's your take on throwback jerseys in sports? Pepsi, Mountain Dew, help the brand or hurts it?
Okay. Throwback to anything for Pepsi helps it. Throwback to anything for Coke is everything that they do all the time.
Mountain Dew changes their identity every 2 weeks, so does anyone even know if it's being thrown back?
When Mountain Dew throws back, yeah, it...
I mean, the current throwback actually went back like 30 years, the new one. If you get the new throwback soda cans.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they put the old Hillbilly back on it.
Is it 30 years Mountain Dew time, so it's really like 3 months to the rest of us? Or
no, they put the vowels back in the name. The whole works.
Nice. Is it moonshine again?
No, but it's got real sugar. I don't
People
think
who have
they,
been
I,
listening since the very first Be a Design cast
I don't
will
think,
know that that
Do
Mountain
they
Dew
ferment the
off.
Sugar? Is that the key?
I don't know. It's like orange juice and caffeine.
Okay.
Anyway, so the real question is like throwbacks. I think, and one of the things that I like about what Pepsi does is that they make it with real ass sugar. They don't just throw back the design as a gimmick. It'd be like the 49ers throwing it back and bringing Joe Montana out of retirement.
Yeah, they're bringing it back as like a different flavor.
Could you imagine bringing like the fridge out and having him play for the Bears? Like having Perry out there just like on the line, just throwing dudes around. He's like, got to be like 60 now.
May not have heard him this year, dude.
Come on, man. Like that would be a throwback I'd be interested in. I don't even really watch sports.
Well, the 49ers just went back to their old jerseys. Mike Singletary coached them this year. They just went back to
their... Maybe you pull Steve Young back in. He's a little bit younger than Joe Montana. So he's probably only got to be like 55. You put a ball in his hands. Have him pass it 3 or 4 yards, break a hip.
Nate.
That would be entertainment, man. I would be totally down for that.
I don't think he's 55. Well, I think you forget how young
No,
because
he played till he was like,
sports
no,
are.
But he played till he was like 40, right? That was back when I watched sports. Yeah.
No, Brett Favre's 40. Steve Young retired.
Brett Favre was
105
years old.
Okay.
He's retired 37 times.
Okay. Well, in that case, Steve Young might be 55. Correct us if we're wrong, please.
I was looking at I want to say that they're doing this in the NBA right now too.
No, because if you throw back NBA uniforms, you have to go back to the short shorts, dude.
No, I'm not asking you.
They don't
if you
throw
agree
back
if they are. I'm asking you, Donovan, are they doing that right now?
Well, they
because I feel like I just saw like someone dressed up as the Jazz, and it was the Jazz as they existed back in New Orleans.
Okay,
and they were ugly.
As I say, I do not count basketball throwbacks if they don't go to the short shorts.
Okay, but whether or not you count them does not, like, negate them actually happening. That's all I'm trying to find out.
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
Is whether or not they're actually happening. And the ugly-ass old Jazz uniforms bring up the double-edged sword that is the throwback for uniforms. Is that sometimes you will throw it back and it will just be goddamn ugly.
My team, the Broncos, Denver Broncos this year,
yeah,
they brought back the vertically striped socks. This year,
I'm a fan of the vertical stripe socks.
See, and that's the advantage. You have brown and yellow vertical stripe socks.
Didn't Pittsburgh do that a couple years ago, too?
Nobody else has vertical stripe socks, dude.
No. I feel like a couple years ago, somebody else did that a couple years ago.
No, they throw back to old uniforms, but nobody has vertically striped socks.
Somebody else did it, I swear. You're a football dude. You should know this.
No.
Vertical stripe socks are not new this year. I mean, I know that it's new old, but somebody else did that.
Oh,
listeners,
no.
Help a brother out. I'm either right or I am wrong. Go to 36 point.
Okay.
Let us know.
Let's Denver won both teams with the throwback uniforms.
Mm-hmm.
They won both of those games, so I'm all for it.
That's a logical fallacy, my friend. You're seeing a pattern that doesn't
Sport
actually exist.
Sport uniforms always look good when you're winning, when your team's winning.
I'll grant you that. We can call that context of design.
Correct.
Be smart about it. If we were on the Design Matters podcast, it would be the context of design there. I think, but winning or losing, my perspective is like occasionally you'll throw back something old, and it'll look great because it's classic. But occasionally, you know, things that were designed at the same time as the classics sometimes ain't that classic.
Look, I'm all for throwback jerseys, but when they're used too often, and I don't know what your definition of too often, then they start to
throwback should be once every 10 years. Let me say that. If it happens more than that, then you shouldn't do it, and you should always throw back 10 years. It should just be a continuous infinite throwback loop.
I would say you could do it every 3 years.
No. Well, and here's my thing is that it should be system wide. Like every team in the NFL must do this.
How about when was it a decade ago that Major League Baseball went forward 10 years or like 100 years and wore like huge logos across their uniforms and like bright colors?
Was that when they were flying? Dude, I don't watch football. You know damn well I ain't watching no
baseball.
I'll
see if I can dig up one of these photos.
Come on.
They were you got to dig them through. They're crazy.
That would probably make a great show graphic then. So let's do that. But what works best for
would
things
you call
like
that Throwback to the Future?
Fuck yeah, dude. Okay, name of the that's the name of the episode. Pound it. All
throwback
right,
to
Throwback
the
to the Future. What happens? The best throwbacks are the ones like when wide leg pants came back. They used to be called bell bottoms. Now they're not. It's because you took something that was old and gave it a hint of what is current.
Which meant
that's when throwbacks work. When
well, that's just because the bell bottoms only went to like a third of what they used to be.
Right, right. What happens in sports, and this is my thought, is that you know the majority of hardcore sports fans, the hardest of the hardcore, and the people that are in charge are statisticians. You know, that's the kind of thing that they get into, and statisticians are about fact. So they go back to the throwback. They do not reinterpret with a modern lens. They say,
yeah,
this
they do.
Is what
they're
it
not
was.
Wearing leather helmets. They're wearing like modern helmets.
That is a technicality. That does not
there's
encompass
a face mask
that
on
does
it.
Not encompass the whole of my argument. You're trying really hard, but you're failing.
As I said, the NBA doesn't do the short shorts.
I know now. There's some equipment rules that have changed that maybe
no, there
don't allow
is
them
no,
to do that.
You point anywhere that says NBA players' shorts have to be of a certain length and have now to like hit the floor. They don't.
You're not. What I'm talking about is the design of the garment, not the fit.
Fine.
Okay. Not the functionality of the helmet. The people in power are the ones to go back and say it was exactly this. We must use exactly that, and that's when throwbacks, I think, kind of fall apart. Let's shut it down. Topic done.
This last one comes from Kitty, iKitty on the Twitter, from upstate New York and Guatemala. Is that are those close together? Is that
yeah,
like
they're right next door, man?
I mean, because you know, people say you could say you're from like you know
Guatemala
Iowa,
is just like
Nebraska
like,
because we're across the river. Maybe you work in one, live in the other. Do you like commute from
it's,
Guatemala to upstate
no,
New York?
No, Guatemala is it's right next to Manhattan. It's just another island out there with like Long Island and Manhattan and Liberty Island. It's right next to Liberty Island, I'm pretty sure.
What'd you say about Long Island? We're going to go get some teas?
Oh, that'd be all right. I actually don't drink Long Island iced teas. I actually had no idea that she had anything to do with upstate New York. I thought she was talking about snow the other day on Twitter, and I was like, yo, is it snowing in Guatemala? All so right. I'm not entirely sure what's going on, and I demand answers. Okay. Was there a question?
Yeah, we should probably answer her question before you ask her them.
Let's do it.
Okay. Have you guys checked out the Comic Sans documentary on YouTube?
No. Pause for us to check it out.
We're guessing that we watched the right documentary clip.
Got it.
Which is like a parody of
Gotta
the Helvetica clip. And
it's not even really it started out almost as a parody. Our frequently discussed papyrus-based Helvetica parody. We're still waiting to get that one off the ground.
I mean, I thought looking at Comic Sans for 8.5 minutes hurt me a little bit.
I felt like, let me say that the part that I liked was when they started swapping out types like Pink Floyd's The Wall and throwing that type
yeah,
into
whoever
Comic
did this
Sans.
Put some actual work into
it. I liked that part a lot. I didn't expect that they were going to then base the next 5 minutes of the flick on that. I thought it was a nice throwaway gimmick. And it presents a well-rounded argument both for and against Comic Sans. It is not
okay.
It's not banning it. You know, it's not like those guys that are all about banning Comic Sans. Those
okay,
guys
no,
are
she's
punks
got one
anyway.
iKitty's got one other part to her statement. It says
are we even done talking about Comic Sans yet?
Well, this is somewhat related.
Okay.
And there's a Comic Serif font on myfonts.com. Interesting.
Comic Serif? Oh, because
okay.
It's Comic Sans.
Musical interlude while we go check this out. Okay, so we just checked this out.
We're back from that, and where I was sort of lackluster about talking about that flick, I am not at all lackluster about talking about Comic Serif. Whoever designed that, and they have this little slideshow where they show Comic... Oh, wait a minute. Now, is this Comic Sans, and that's Comic Serif? Is that because that has serifs on it. What's going on? Okay, no, that's Comic Sans on the left. and that's supposed to be Comic Serif,
right,
over on the right.
Right.
Okay.
It's a free alternative to Comic Sans. The difference, it has serifs and is much cooler look.
Here's my take on this. Fuck those guys. I would rather use Comic Sans than that. I'm not saying that that's a bad typeface that they've designed. It seems solid, but when you name something Comic Serif, that means you're setting it up to be a partner to the sans serif version of that. There's plenty of other type designs like this out there. Okay, you compare them side by side. The letter forms have absolutely nothing at all to do with one another. No, their serif version of a sans serif typeface has nothing to do with it.
Well, they're done by different people.
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
Doesn't matter. If you're going to call it Comic Serif, it should partner perfectly with Comic Sans. And it does. I don't mind the typeface that they designed. I am always in search of a great slab serif, big, blocky, bold typeface like that. But calling it Comic Serif is obviously a ploy to get attention. Hey, I guess that worked. But you don't do that if it has nothing to do with the original. If you're gonna design Comic Serif, you better goddamn well have some respect for Comic Sans. You better do it right. And I don't think that that's what they did. I'm a little jazzed up about this, Donovan. I think, well, number one, the reason that I think Comic Sans persists is because the rest of everyone are not type snobs the way that so many designers are, so many young designers, let me say. It's Comic Sans is great at parties. Girls love it. Comic Sans is a ton of fun. If you are hating on Comic Sans, you're just a fun hater. You're just the dude at the party who doesn't want to have fun and dance.
That's fine. I like being born.
Yeah. That's fine. We don't have to keep going on Comic Sans. You realize what just happened here?
You defended.
I just defended the fuck out of Comic Sans. We might have to put like a explicit lyric warning on this one. I just defended the living crap out of Comic Sans.
No, not for bad language. For the fact that you talk good about Comic Sans. That's can't let people hear that.
I wouldn't necessarily say that.
Positive words about Comic Sans.
I guess I kind of did. I don't want to back away from it, but you don't make something and call it Comic Serif and have it have like the skew of the handwriting angle of Comic Sans, like all of that's gone. It has nothing to do with it at all. Nothing. And I'm sorry, but you don't do that. You don't make Helvetica Serif and have it look like you don't make Helvetica Serif and make it look like Times New Roman. You don't make it look like Garamond. You make it look like Helvetica with serifs on it. You know? And I will debate to the death anyone who does not agree with me that Comic Sans is every bit as pervasive in our culture as Helvetica.
Oh.
Every bit.
Whether you
want it to be or not.
Sadly, it may be more because I bet if you pull the general public, more people could recognize the typeface Comic Sans over Helvetica.
Oh, yeah. Well, no. I mean, that's the point of the whole film. No one recognizes Helvetica because it's air. Because it's there without being there. Comic Sans, everyone recognizes that type.
No, but what I mean is,
everyone had Windows 95.
Even if someone recognizes it, like, they're like, I've seen that type before, but outside the design world, people don't know the name of the typeface.
No, like, yo, my mom knows Comic Sans.
Yeah.
And she would know it regardless of whether or not I was her son. Like, yeah, people know Comic Sans.
If you showed her Helvetica and say, what type is this? She would say it was Arial.
Yeah, oh, God, now that hurts. I did a whole... I think maybe we've talked about this before, that I did the whole strip about it was with the hobo designers and with their tummies are rumbling, one's rumbling and Arial, one's rumbling in Helvetica, and like no one got it because that large of our audience can't actually tell the two apart. I'm going to tell you, it's the cutoffs. It's the end lines. Anyway, I feel like I maybe already talked about that on the show once before, so I apologize to our listeners if I did. Do we have one more? I've got one more in me if we have one more question. Or did we only get those? Because if we only got those, that's cool.
We only put the call out like right before.
Like directly before we recorded it. So is it that you don't want to do one or is that we really don't have any more?
No, that's what we got. Okay, we're just going right to a MIG tip then.
I think that we should do that. And you know what I hope from this MIG tip? I hope MIG is excited about something. Let's find out.
Nate, Donovan, what's up, guys? Definitely have something exciting to share. It's really awesome that we're getting toward the end of another season of the Reflex Blue Show, and I thought back to the end of last season, as a matter of fact, I was actually the guest of the last season and the last episode, and you guys awesomely put it as me being the world's most connected young designer, and well, now that I'm getting pretty old, I'm 23 at the time of this recording, I did want to shed some light on just some general thoughts I had as a young designer who's looking to quote-unquote network. And so my student tip for this episode is networking is bullshit. And what I mean by that is you need to make friends, not contacts. And this is a topic that I actually speak about a lot towards whenever I talk to a college or do, you know, some sort of speaking presentation toward other students. It's always focus on whenever you meet people out in the industry or, you know, at an event or at a conference. Think about meeting people as your friend and as someone you could, you know, foster a friendship or a relationship with, and not just a plus one to your LinkedIn, not just another Twitter follower. And when you think of it that way, you're actually going to have a better, you'll be better off in, you know, your career down the line, because people hire friends, people hire people, and not contacts. So quick bit of advice, make friends, not contacts.
Fantastic. Wow. That was way better than when we forget to talk about it.
Funk.
Throw it at the end of the show. We love you, Mig.
And speaking of bringing the funk.
Did you know Mig is speaking at the HOW conference this year?
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, did you not know that?
No, I guess I saw it.
You probably saw it, but yo, go to the HOW conference, meet our friend Mig, tell him we said what's up, and he will give you something for free.
All sorts of former guests have been on the show, too.
What's that?
Steve's going to be there.
Justin.
Glitchka. Yeah.
Yeah, like everyone but us, but whatever. We'll make you guys famous as long as you give us hugs. Speaking of famous, great lead-in, Donovan.
Yeah.
Our very good friend, one of our show's best friends, let me say, Christine Taylor out of Hallmark.
Been on the show twice.
We did an amazing show with her where we did nothing but talk about Star Wars and Twilight and The Simpsons. Despite the Twilight part of that, you should still go listen to that show.
Still have not seen Twilight.
You're not missing out. I've come fully back around. You ain't missing out.
Good.
Anyway, go to starwars.com. That is not a fake fan site. That is starwars.com. And they have an interview with Christine up right now because Hallmark just did some badass Star Wars themed crowns.
Well, no, Hallmark didn't. She did them.
She just, no, because those were she like did from all her five team, of them. Right? She did all five of those? I thought her team did those. I'm going to have to read it. I had to skim it because I was on the move. Anyway, there's a gigantic StarWars.com interview with our great friend Christine Taylor. So go to StarWars.com and check that out. And I think that's going to do it. Also, I was talking to Steve on the Twitter yesterday. If y'all don't follow us on Twitter, you should. You can actually follow Donovan at 36point, me at Vossum, and Steve at ridiculous RDQLUS_creative. He's already got like 1,000 peeps.
You got 1,000 characters in your name, too.
Yeah, I know. And he does tend to type in code, but we were talking the other day about, like, Adidas has these totally sweet limited edition Star Wars shoes, the Skywalkers.
I've not seen those.
He wants the he's more like the X-Wing runners, which are not, like, they're not enough of a statement, but the Skywalkers are, like, based off of his orange flight suit. They're amazing. And of course, I throw these out to Steve. He's like, ha ha, yeah, I saw those 3 weeks ago, yo. So, you know, shouldn't have tried to outmaneuver Steve and his style watch. But let's go out on Star Wars, I think.
Okay.
I'm feeling pretty good about that. Thanks for having a Reflex Blue
we'll
show,
be back.
Donovan.
I think we're going to have one more show and then the Super Bowl.
And then the Super Bowl, and then we'll
be show number 50, and I think that'll wrap up season 2.
Yeah, or maybe we go out on the Super Bowl. We can do seasons whenever we want.
Yeah, I don't know.
What are we at, like a 2-hour show now? We should probably, let's kill it.
All right.
Shut it down.
We're doing like a sound check.
We're
Nate.
doing sound checks. I'm gonna try to bring my energy.
It's high energy here, Nate. My energy all the time. Check my email. Maybe they'll get an email that'll be a complete downer and just ruin me the rest of the show as compared to my high energy I have.
Yeah, I could go check my email and that one company could be like, hey, thanks, dude, but we were really just fucking with you. So have a good one.
Yeah.
To send questions or comments to the Reflex Blue Show, please visit 36point.com. The Reflex Blue Show is hosted by Nate Voss and Donovan Beery, music produced by Dust Lab. Find out more at myspace.com/dustlab.